Blog Talk Radio.
Still exists. It's never going to change in the United States of America.
you want to have the right to defend yourself, your family. They're not going to change that law. It's a law that was built on this country that they was able to defend themselves. So Florida defense attorney Mike Stone was not surprised by the outcome. We are a state that is very interested in the Second Amendment, says Stone. We litigate multiple cases involving crimes of stand your ground. A lot of people here carry guns and are amended to doing nothing to change that. They do not want to give up their guns. In D.C. for years, when it was called Chocolate City, there was no guns allowed in the city. They had taken all the guns out of the city. If you had a gun, it had to be registered, but you couldn't own a gun, period. They didn't want any guns to be owned by citizens in the District of Columbia. That's when the District of Columbia was predominantly black. You could not own a gun. That law was changed recently, it's 3 or 4 years ago, that now you can legally own a gun in D.C. People want to protect their family. I'm a former PG County police officer. I carried a gun every single day. It was an opportunity to protect and serve the citizens of Prince George's County. It was routine. I got up in the morning. Once I took my shower, I put on my Samsung belt with my 9mm, pinned my badge on my chest and my bulletproof vest, and walked around every day with a gun on my side like the Western movies, just like they did back in the cowboy days. So it's some situation where guns are needed. You're never going to get rid of guns altogether. Guns are something that people want in the United States of America. You heard our Vice President Joe Biden said that he don't need an assault weapon, he don't need any kind of Uzi, but he does have a shotgun in his house, and he instructed his wife that to use the shotgun. Anyone can buy a shotgun. You have to have some means to protect your family. The number here is 347-637-1577. We're talking about a year after, or a year later, on Trayvon Martin. It's been a whole year. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Five things that you might want to know about this case. This case is scheduled for June 10th, which is not that far away. Number one, photos, evidence trickled out, seemingly helping hurt both sides. From the beginning, Zinnemann insisted that he was a victim. Martin attacked him. Then they tussled, he said. At one point, the teenager forced Zinnemann to the ground, his head hitting the pavement, and he cried out for help. It was then that Zinnemann says he had no choice but to shoot Martin. Martin's family members said Zinnemann tackled down and sought out Martin, ignoring a 9/11 dispatcher's directive that shot dead the unarmed teen. Unless there's a plea deal, the case is dismissed, or there is another unexpected turn of events, the final decision, who is right or wrong, will be made by jurors. What happened that night that Martin died? When they deceived into mounds of evidence, key elements of which engage well after the initial hobnob erupted. For example, did Martin handle the gun he was attemptively shot with? No, according to test results made public last May, he showed evidence of Zinnemann's hands on the firearm, but not those of the teenager he killed. And the analyst showed that the scrapings from the underneath the teenager's fingernails did not contain any of Zinnemann's DNA, as been rubbed off the prologue struggle. Yet Zinnemann has said that he was bloody before the fight and before the shooting, and he got pictures to prove it. This include pictures reported taken minutes after the shooting showing streaks of blood on the back of Zinnemann's head, and December, a photo posted of Zinnemann's defense website. Number two, George Zinnemann's legal defense fund kept pulling cash and needs it. On January 2nd, the fund raised $314,000, according to the website team. That's up to $180,000 Zinnemann raised on his own before turning the money over to his lawyer last year. What the money been used for? The biggest single expense remains the $95,000 bond to secure his release from jail. The fund also has been paid $61,747 for living expenses for Zinnemann and his wife, who are now living in an undisclosed rental home at a price for his legal team describes as reasonable. And other expenses include $56,000 for security, $76,000 expenses for law firm, and $3,200 in miscellaneous expenses. This includes Zinnemann's GPS, monitoring fees, office supplies, and occasional pizza for interns on the case. And they then need so much money to mob, claiming that Zinnemann's team already is operating on a shoestring budget, relying on individuals who have been willing to work for free. The defense fund website predicts the total cost for defending Zinnemann will top $1 million. His two top attorneys, Mark O'Mara and Don West, have not been paid yet, the website states. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Number three, Zinnemann is not just fighting the prosecution. He's also suing NBC. In December, Zinnemann filed a lawsuit accusing Network of taking his comments to a 9/11 dispatcher out of context in an effort to sensationalize the case. The lawsuit accused the Network of removing nearly a minute of dialogue and dead air between Zinnemann and the dispatcher to bring comments that Martin appeared to be up to no good. And he looks back, and he looks black closer together. The lawsuit also accuses NBC of falsely claiming Zinnemann used a racial epitaph to describe Mark. The network Zinnemann used a descriptive and explosive manipulations to increase the ratings. So he's suing NBC. NBC being sued, the network airing of the edited recording in March 2012 contributed to the death threats that forced Zinnemann to go into hiding. The lawsuits allege that the several coverage led to the death threats against Zinnemann, who wears a bulletproof vest and was even dismissed from his college because he felt fellow students could be in danger. He also had to move from his neighborhood in Sanford, leading to various unforeseen expenses. Due to the defendant's journalism crime, Zinnemann has been transformed into one of the most hated men in America, but the suit said, NBC University Dispatch, the accusation, there was no intent to portray Mr. Zinnemann unfairly, the company said at the time. We intend to vigorously defend this position in court. But they're fighting it. They're saying, we're going to fight this thing. Number four, stand your ground law doesn't apply. Defendants' lawyers say the Florida law passed in 2006 says people who feel threatened don't have to retreat from danger, no matter where they are. And it became a huge point of contention after Zinnemann's arrest, with his supporters saying that the incident demonstrated the precise need for the law, and critics say is encouraging Wild West or vigilante mentality. But Zinnemann's lawyers say it doesn't apply in this case, at least not exactly. In this particular case, George did not have the ability to retreat because he was on the ground with Trayvon Martin mounting him, striking blows. Therefore, stand your ground benefited given by the statute simply does not apply to the fact that George's case is traditional self-defense, the gentleman's attorney said on the website dealing with legal cases. But they do intend to ask the judge to apply the immunity provisions of Florida self-defense law to strive off the trial, off charges. Unstable ground, the fine line between self-defense and murder. The law says people who use fatal force within guidelines set out by the law are immune from prosecution. A hearing on the issue could happen in April, according to the website. We'll be right back with the last Trayvon Martin would have celebrated his 18th birthday this month. Martin would have turned 18 on February 5th. His supporters mark his birthday with a peace rally in the historical black part of Sanford in Central Florida. It was relatively a small affair, about 70 people, compared with the thousands who turned out regularly to support Martin's family and demand Martin Zinnemann's prosecution in the weeks immediately after his death. Those rallies led oftentimes by civil rights leaders around the country helped catapult the case into a national limelight. Unlikely early demonstrations where supporters issued loud and relentless calls for justice, the Sanford Birthday Center was more subdued. This time, supporters wore bracelets, reading band together, and called the healing in the community after the shooting, which divided blacks and whites racially and put the police department in a harsh light for not immediately arresting Zinnemann. There's something coming out of this, and the understanding that Sanford will be better community for it, says lawyers Jackson, who is among those representing Martin's family. Two people who were front and center in these early rallies. Martin's parents, Filton, Tracy Martin, were not at Stanford that day. Instead, they quietly probably marked their late son's birthday at their house. So they didn't participate. But this thing is going to come to head. So you stay tuned. BeThereMagazine.com will keep you informed. Go to BeThereMagazine.com. Get involved with the magazine, the Coalition of Concerned Businesses. Also, March 7th, mark your calendar, March 7th at the Points Hotel in Annapolis Road, 450. We're going to be there. We'll see you there.
Money, money, money.